world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Kind of excited to get down here. I'm always kind of excited to get down here, but I wish you could get inside my body. And here's what I mean by that. You know, the Bible says my sheep hear my voice and another voice they won't hear. And I don't want this to sound arrogant in any way, shape, or form. Okay, I don't. Bible says in Psalm 37:23, at the very steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord, he delights in your way. I just want to acknowledge, when I came down, you know, I talk about the multimillion-dollar escalator. By the way, I don't have it. It's steps, wooden steps. When I came down the multimillion-dollar escalator, I had something I prepared a show. I always try to prepare a show and let the Holy Spirit do what it wants to do with it. Here's what I get caught up in. If I don't have a good show, you guys just sit there and look at me, and then I think, God, what am I going to do next? Well, you know what? If the topic's not hot and rich, I got to try to do something, because there's a variety of people in here. Some people are deeper than others in Christianity. Some aren't really Christians. Some don't have an understanding. And how do you present something to everybody that makes sense? That's really one of the struggles that I have. But as I was coming down the multimillion-dollar wooden steps to my $150 studio, I heard the Lord. It's amazing, really. I heard the Lord. You know, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. You hear his voice? Do you hear his voice? Wait a minute. Do you acknowledge it when you hear it? When you hear the Lord's voice, do you say, I got that, Lord, heard that, Lord? Because the Bible is very, very clear. My sheep hear my voice. And another voice they will not hear. Now listen, words mean things. Not hear. Like if somebody breaks this window over here, I'm going to hear it. No. Hear and obey. How many of you ever said to your grandchild, did you hear me? Did you hear me? Well, you know he heard you. He didn't obey. And when the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, what does that mean? They obey it. Whatever he says unto you, do. Hear and obey. A military guy follows orders. The general, the captain, the lieutenant tells him what to do, and he does it. The football coach calls a play. Everybody does their job. They run the play. Now, wait a minute. They can't get in the huddle and say, Coach, I didn't hear the play. What? You didn't hear the play? What were you in the huddle for? We called a play. Go do your job. Go run your play. Whatever it is that you're required to do. Hey, friends, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, I want you to know this right now, that he speaks to you all the time. Do you acknowledge it? Yeah, Lord, I heard that. I heard that. By the way, I did that this morning. I came down the steps. I said, Lord, I heard that. Now I'm accountable. I didn't say, hey, Lord, that's too loud. Turn that down. That's distracting me, Lord. I got a show to do. I can't be doing that, Lord. No, I heard it. I heard his voice, and I'm obeying it. With me? So I was went to my daughter's softball game last night. I got some things I got to cover before I get into this. let me back up. My daughter's softball team, my granddaughter's softball team. I don't know if you noticed this or not. Has 9 positions. You guys know what they are? So we got a pitcher and a catcher, first baseman, the second baseman, shortstop, third baseman, left field, center field, right field. And you got to have somebody in every one of those spots. And they may not be very good at that spot, but that's where they are. Oh, God, I need a month. I need a month. Hey, Mel, you got to let me ride this horse here, man. I got to get this finished up before we get out of it. What position do you play? You say, well, coach, I don't really have one. What? Yeah, coach. I'm faithful. I've been going to church for 40 years. Oh, yeah, cool. What position do you play? What? What position do you play? So, well, I don't know. I just go and do what the pastor tells me to do. What does he tell you to do? Well, pray, give, come. And so you've been doing that. What position is that? What position is that? That you pray and you come and you give. What position is that? Well, he's never really assigned me a position. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm digging into something here. Bear with me. Okay. And so as I started to say, I came down the steps and amazing. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit is so amazing. With what was already on my heart, and I come down the steps and Holy Spirit said to me, center field. Center field. So here we are. We're Coach Dave Live. I'm the coach. You go to church, your pastor's the coach. You live in a house with children, who's the coach? Because everywhere you go, there has to be a coach. Go ahead and play this real quickly. Time to play it real quickly. Go ahead and play it. Hey. This is you talking to your pastor. It's not you talking to your baseball coach. This is you talking to your pastor. Go ahead.
It's the job of the coach to recognize the player's skills and put him in the game.
Ready to play.
Okay, you get it off. You get it, right? You understand? Put me in, coach. You go to church on Sunday to be put into the game, not to watch the coach lecture. When you leave the church on Sunday, you ought to be told a command, go do this. I'm a football coach. They get in the huddle. They call a play. Every guy, when we break the huddle and go and line up, all 11 guys know what they're supposed to do. They know who they're supposed to hit. They've been training who to block, what to block. Everyone does it. Let me ask you something. Your pastor asked you to run any plays? Has he trained you to run any plays? You just come in and open up Matthew 24 and go to Matthew 24 and give you a nice sermon on Matthew 24, and then you go home and you don't do a damn thing with it? Because the Bible says that faith without works is dead. Dead faith. I wrote about that. Well, that'd be something to try to find that thing up. I wrote about that, I don't know, 20 years ago. Dead faith. Dead fish. Dead faith. It's American Christianity. Huh? They make some of you mad. I don't care. See, it's not your fault. I went and watched my granddaughter's softball game yesterday, which, by the way, she scored the winning run in the bottom of the seventh inning. No, extra innings. Ninth inning. She came home. She was the heroine. She's the hero. But see, you don't ever become a hero if you won't get in the damn game. You can't be a hero sitting on the bench. You know what everybody in that place knew? What did everybody do when Reese ran across the plate, scored the winning run? Did anybody know what everybody do? Anybody know what everybody did?
Cheered.
They ran out of the dugout and they jumped into a big pile. Why? Because Reese did something. It's good, isn't it? I'm not mad. It just seems like it. It just seems like it. Well, one of the things I'm proudest about here at Coach Dave Live is we got some players. I could run down a litany of people who finally got in the game and are doing something for the first time in their life. Is there anything worse than being 65 years old and loving the Lord and nobody ever puts you in the game? Anything worse than that? I think about that great white throne. No, when we're sitting up in we're all gathered in heaven and we're all sitting around the campfire in heaven. We all made it through and we're sitting around there, Faith Hall of Fame. They're all laying out in front of us and begin to ask, what'd you do when you were down there? And that guy's, oh man, here's what I did. And boy, we conquered this. We did that. Ooh, what'd you do? What'd you do when you were down there? Oh my goodness. You wouldn't have believed that we were fighting against homosexuality and transgenderism. And man, I went to the school board meeting and I stood up and spoke and they hated me so badly. I can't even tell you. And they high five each other. He's look over at you and they point your finger. You said, what'd you do? What'd you do? I went to church. You look around. You're in heaven. You're in heaven. See, they've lied to you and told you works don't matter. Works don't matter. You can't work your way into heaven. Hey, dudes, you don't work your way into heaven. But if you go to Revelation 21, is Revelation 21, the great white throne judgment, what does it say? That they were all judged according to their works. Anybody want to argue with that? Huh? And he sat on the throne and said, behold, make all things new. And he said, I'm done, Alpha and Omega. And he'd overcome all things. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the whoremongers, a dollar shall not God. And there came seven angels and blah, blah, blah. And they carried him away in the spirit and the glory of God, and the wall of great hall of fame, 12 gates and the gates. And I'm trying to find it, Revelation 20. And each was judged according to his works. You're rewarded for your works. You don't get to heaven by your works. You get to heaven by the grace of God. You lay down his life. You receive Christ. Now that you're on the team, you're supposed to block somebody. You're going to be judged, it says. Come on, Spencer, find that for Revelation 20. Huh? Yeah. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This was the first resurrection. Blessed is the holy man, and the prisoner shall go unto him, and the devil descend him, shall cast a great throne. He shall dead and great stand before. I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. And the books were open. Hang on. What? The books were open. The game films were played. Another book was opened. Wait a minute, we got two books here? So we got the books that were opened, and then another book, which is the book of life. Two different books. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I've been lying to you, telling you works don't matter. Hey, you don't have to do works to get into heaven. But you're supposed to do them once you made it. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to what he'd done. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, and this is the second death, 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the, can you scroll down, Spencer? Was cast to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Somebody been lying to you, telling you you're not supposed to have any works. Somebody been lying to you. Living in dangerous, perilous times. And you've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. You and I have been called into the kingdom. Jesus said, think not that I came to bring peace on the earth. Matthew 5, I think it is. Try it. Matthew 5, see if it is. Now, hey, all you out there going to church and playing to, hey, don't think I came to bring peace. I'm the Prince of Peace, but don't you think that's why I came? No, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Where is that? Maybe it's not in Matthew. Come on, folks, this is scripture too. This is all scripture too. Think not that I came to bring peace, but a sword. And I came to bring that sword to set at variance a man against his son, a mother against, somewhere it says that somewhere in that Bible, doesn't it? So doesn't it say that he came to set at variance? Didn't he? He came, what? There it is. Matthew 5, Matthew 10. I come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes will be those of his own household. Church. And he that loveth his father or mother more than me, not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me, not worthy of me. And he that doesn't take up his cross for after, follow after me, he ain't worthy of me. He that findeth his life is going to lose it. If it's all about you, you're going to lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake, you're going to find it. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, although I wish I could. Wish I could. I don't know where we got this passive, I'm okay, you're okay. Pull up, Spencer. I haven't forgot you, Laura Ann. I haven't forgotten you, Mel. This make us dangerous. I got this from one of our viewers out there. Huh? You hearing this in your church? This is from Jim Elliott, martyr of the Lamb and missionary to Huarani natives of Ecuador. He said, we are so utterly ordinary, so commonplace, while we profess to know a power the 20th century does not reckon with. We were harmless. And therefore, unharmed. We're spiritual pacifists, non-militants, conscientious objectors in this battle to the death with principalities and powers in high places. Meekness must be had for contact with men, but brass, outspoken boldness is required to take part in the comrades of the cross. We are sideliners, coaching and criticizing the real wrestlers Hey, are you looking at me? I'm not bragging. A lot of pastors hate me. You know why, David? Because I'm a real wrestler. I'm a real wrestler. So are you guys. So are some of you. Huh? Coaching and criticizing the real wrestler. You better stay away from that coach, Dave. He's got a cult going there. Like that pastor doesn't have a cult. Coaching and criticizing the real wrestlers while content to sit by and leave the enemies of God unchallenged. The world cannot hate us because we're too much like them. Oh, that God would make us dangerous.
Boom.
It's funny. Michelle, I hope you're listening up there. I told Michelle about 10, 20 years ago when I got radically saved, radically born again, I told her she could answer it for me, what I want on my tombstone. Anybody out there know what I want on my tombstone? You don't know. Michelle knows. Yeah, Michelle, what do I want on my tombstone?
Here lies a dangerous man.
Here lies a dangerous man. Thank you for all you guys that knew that. Huh? Are you dangerous? Is your Christianity dangerous to the devil? Is your Christianity dangerous to hell that's all around us? No! No! I've lost more friends, been shunned by more people, Christian people. And look, I'm not whining, moaning, groaning. If you think they're going to love you, what Jesus said, they have killed the prophets. Jesus said that. They've killed the prophets. And you know what we made? Oh, God. I'm glad some people hate me. I'm glad somebody hate me. My grandson asked me the other day, Grampy, do you like pizza? And I said, some pizza I like. I said, what do you mean? I said, I like it hot and spicy. Because you can go to Domino's and you can get a piece of cardboard with some meat on top of it and cheese, and it ain't got no taste to it. You give me one of those with that rattling hot pepperoni and melted cheese, dude, I love it. A lot of you folks are the Domino's. Christians, Domino's pizza. Feel like I'm spanking you today. I'm spanking me. Spanking me. Because everything going on out there is going out there with our approval. Every bit of it with our approval. We're catching my breath and I'm going to come back here. What you got, Mel? I'm hitting you real quick, Mel.
Yeah.
What's on the Liberty Action Network? What? Wait, hang on. Liberty Action Network? Liberty Sit on Your Butt Network? Liberty Sit in the Church Network? Liberty Sit in the Church and Listen to Me Preach to You Network? Is that what it is? No, it's Liberty Action Network. What's going on to Liberty Action Network now?
Well, thanks, Coach. You know, James 1, 22 to 25 says that we're not supposed to be just hearers, we're supposed to be doers, which goes along with what you read in Revelation. So I'm just really glad to be in a place with other doers and with people who are calling plays. And Spencer, if you'd go to the actions tab today, I want to show this one, but I also want to put it in conjunction with the other one that we're running at the same time. So you can see if you go to the actions tab that we have the new one, Intercession Over America, but we're still running the Rocking Across the USA, which goes until May 18th. But the one that we're announcing today is the first one. Craig kind of announced that yesterday. But, you know, when people come up with actions, my role really is to put things on the Liberty Action Network so that we can do them all together and be doers together. So, this one is, it started on May 10th. It goes until July 29th. And we're going to be reading Psalms 70 to 150, we're going to be reading and praying one each day, reading 80 Psalms over America. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention. Craig, if you're out there, if you want to add any more information to that, but I just wanted to know that that was just added. Thanks, Coach.
Amen. 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 Well, let me ask you a question before Craig comes in here. Listen, let me ask you this. When you leave your church on Sunday, wherever it is, has the play been called? Does the pastor say, okay, go run this play and then see you next Sunday and let me know how it went? You ever had that happen ever? 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 No, because we meet, retreat, and eat in church. We're in a war. We're in a freaking war. I'm not done. Lorianne needs our help. I need somebody out there, I don't know who, to set up a GoFundMe page. I don't know how to do it. If you know how to set up a GoFundMe page, let me know. Because I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. So just so you understand from a financial standpoint. Pastor Salt Ministries is, we're tax exempt. But we're a Christian business. I'm a Christian business here, folks. You understand that? When you donate here, you donate to what I'm the cook. You get a tax donation for it. You get a tax write-off for it. But I hate to tell you this. I'm just openly telling you what pastors won't tell you. I'm running a business here. It's a Christian business. And the number of requests that we get from people who need help, which, by the way, is the role of the local church, but the local church won't help them, or they won't go ask them, or they don't go to one. I want to make it clear. I'm all over the place, man. I'm all over. Man, let's go to war. Let's go to war. So I started to say this. I need a GoFundMe page. Lorianne Rector car. Rector car. She needs a new car. Now, I could begin raising money for Lorianne on Coach Dave Live. Say, get it. I could do that. But there's an accountability that comes, and people want to know, did all my money go there? Did all my money go to get Lorianne a car? Hell, I get donations. I make a commitment, we get donations. Did every cent you give go to the hurricane? We tried to, but no. We divvy it out. We divvy it out. If we make $1 million this year, I ain't richer. I'm running a business, Christian business. Okay, get off of that, Coach, because I don't want to talk about that, right? Somebody help me out. Lorianne needs a GoFundMe. Needs a GoFundMe. So, look, I could do it through Coach Dave Live. I don't want to do it through Coach Dave Live. Because then people say, well, he's always asking for money. Well, I'm always asking for money because the need never goes away and the local church doesn't help people in need. Somebody say amen out there for me. Huh? When was the last time
amen. And
said you need a little bit of help and they don't give you a damn dime? Huh? Anybody tell me? So we try to help people here. Okay? We try to. But I have to be honest with you, sometimes it gets overwhelming. Sometimes it does. I'm not complaining today. I'm exhorting. Okay. If you're not picking up, then I'm exhorting, not complaining. It's important. Boom. Somebody get a hold of Lorianne. Help her set up a GoFundMe page. Hey, Lorianne, how much money you need?
$5,000.
$5,000.
I just need a new used, you know, SUV or something like that.
Hey, Lorianne. You have a local church, Lorianne?
No. My church, this is...
Okay, so who helps you?
Me. I just...
All right.
Who helps me? I came and I asked the place that I go to every morning because...
Yeah, amen. Okay, just so we got
that. I would be lost.
So she needs help. She's a single mom with a somewhat disabled daughter. Her car's broken. Now, I could raise the money at Coach Dave Live, but then people want to know, did it all go there? Did all the money go to Lowell? I don't know. He comes in, we put it in the bank. I don't sit down and say, anyway, we need to help Lauren. Somebody figure out how to set up a GoFundMe for her. Okay. We can do that. We ought to be able to raise $5,000 and help this single mother get a car, for heaven's sakes. We ought to be able to do that. Okay. Oh, my phone's blown up here. I appreciate all this. If I get there, it breaks my train of thought. Okay, so here's what I can I do a teaching? Somebody give me a thumbs up. Betty, is it okay? Because I think this is critical. Okay, I think this is critical. Okay, pull up for me. Number three. Fivefold ministry in the church. Understanding the fivefold ministry. Now, friends, listen to me. Listen. There are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we ought to go there first. But stay right. Fivefold ministry. He gave some, scroll down, Spencer, so we can find the scripture. The concept of the fivefold ministry isn't new. It's rooted in ancient leadership models and a key New Testament passage. Throughout history, God has raised up leaders. Hey, that'd be you. Hey, Steve Deck, that'd be you. Hey, Mel, that'd be you. Hey, Betty, that'd be you. It ain't the guy standing in the pulpit at the church you go to on Sunday. That ain't it, man. That ain't it. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles. By the way, hang on. These are positions. These aren't titles. Get a football team in the huddle. Coach Norm, I don't know if you're listening out there. Hey, we got a quarterback in here? Yeah, we got one. Okay, that's your position. We got a right guard? Okay, good. Got a left guard? Good, good. Got a left tackle? No left tackles? We don't have a left tackle? And then the right guard says, Coach, I can play left tackle. I'll play left tackle. Can you get another guard in here? See, look, position is not a permanent place, office you hold. It's a job you do. It's a job you do. On the football field, you need 11 players. You got to have every one of them. The fivefold ministry's got to have every one of them. And sometimes you're a quarterback, and sometimes you're a wide receiver, and sometimes you're a defensive back, depending on what the team needs. Benny, give me a boom. But we don't do that in American Christianity. We say, here's our apostle.
Boom.
Here's our pastor. You with me? We determine positions, and then that man is the position. No. Sometimes you might be with a group of people. You ready, Betty? Sometimes you might be with a group of people where you are the pastor. What? Yes, they're positions on a team. And then Betty may go out and recruit somebody else. And Betty said, look, I ain't got time to be this pastor. I'm going to go be a teacher. Hey, will you be the pastor for a while? I'm going to go teach. Do you understand? These are jobs. These are giftings. These are offices that you move in and out of. So what are the fivefold ministries? As we go down through these real quick, look, I'm not mad. It just seems like it. If you go to church where they tell you that these are offices of the church, you better hear me. That's nothing more than control. That's all it is. So here's the fivefold ministry roles. Doesn't say offices. Ministry roles. There's the apostle. Think of the apostles as the pioneers. The trailblazers. Hey, Craig, you're an apostle. Randy, you're an apostle. Hey, Glenn, you're trying to be an apostle to those Republican fools. See, the apostle sees the big picture and provides the vision and strategic direction needed to move forward. They're not afraid to go where others haven't gone before, establishing a presence for the gospel in new territories. So if Randy has something going on in Oklahoma, I'm going to go help him. But folks, I ain't the apostle. Randy's the apostle. I'm just playing a different position on that team. Doesn't anybody get this? And everywhere you go, everywhere you have a team, somebody, there's got to be a structure for how this thing works. My buddy, Coach Norm. Norm, you in here today? He's in there most mornings. I don't care if he's not. He got a big honor. I'd like to talk about that. I get a chance. Anyway, Coach Norm, he could be head coach. He is a head coach. But he said, Coach, wherever you need me, put me. Line coach, yeah, I'll do that. Defensive back coach, yeah, I'll do that. So Coach Norm just doesn't come in and say, well, I'm just a line coach. That's all I do. I don't do anything else. I say, well, Coach, can you coach the tight end? Yeah, I coach tight ends. Hang on. So he gave some apostles, and they're pioneers and trailblazers. You know what? That's me. I'm a pioneer and a trailblazer. But you know what? So's Craig. So's Mel. So's Dave Allison. So's Betty. She's a trailblazer. You're the apostle. You're the one who got the vision and started the team, started putting the team together. Now, Betty, will you remain the apostle all the time? No, sometimes you have to hand it off to somebody else because you may have to go be the prophet. What's a prophet do? Tell the truth. Say what you want to. When you come here, you're going to hear the truth. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. But you got to know this. I'm a truth teller. I call them like I see them. Yeah. But you know what else? Sometimes I'm an apostle. Depending on who's on my team that day. Folks, these are positions on the team, not permanent offices you hold. Prophets are not afraid to challenge the status quo and speak truth to power. Get you in trouble. You'll get the left foot of fellowship when you go to the pastor or the elders and you ask any question about what they're doing. They will run you out. Somebody give me a thumbs up, okay? Somebody know it, huh? Say, sit down. Hey, Betty, sit down and shut up, will you? Just get over here, sit down, shut up. We're in charge. I'm the apostle and he's the prophet. Now, third, do you understand these are positions on the football team? There's the evangelist. What's the evangelist do? Why? They have a burning passion for reaching people outside the church. What? You mean what? Reach people outside the church? When are you supposed to do that? When do you clock in to be an evangelist? Well, it's not a job, folks. It's not a title. It's a position you play. Sometimes you have to be the one to speak up outside the church walls. Hang on. I hope you're getting this. Because there are times, go back to the top, Spence. There are some times I'm the apostle. If I go listen to Flip Benham speak, I'm not the apostle anymore. If I go listen to Dale Socha, I'm not the apostle. He's the apostle. I'm on his team, and I could be the prophet. I could come along beside Coach Dale, or Pastor Dale, Coach Dale, and Coach Dale makes a point from the pulpit, and I would raise my hand and say, Pastor, how about this? Have you considered this? And he said, daggone, I never thought about that. That's because I'm a prophet. I'm not a fortune teller. I see what God's doing, and I say, hey, this look, here's what he's doing. You see what he's doing? We got blind prophets. We got a pastor who's the apostle and the prophet. And the evangelist. Come on. Scroll on down. I'm about to open it up here. I ought to charge for this one. By the way, go back up. Go back up. Look down the hierarchy here. Thumb, apostle, the prophet. You know what they always taught me about that? The prophet is the finger pointer. Straighten up, boys. Straighten up, boys. That's the prophet. Not a fortune teller. Not telling you that if you tithe to him, you'll get $10,000 in 10 different ways. That ain't a prophet. That's a huckster. And then the evangelist. So I'm the head coach. I'm the apostle. And I need a prophet in our group. Someone who will speak the or well, can you do that today? Yeah, you okay, you'll be the prophet today. No, but coach, I got a word over here. Okay, well, you're a prophet. It's a gift. It's a gift. You flow in, not a job. Evangelists have a burning desire for reaching people outside the church walls. Folks, you're all supposed to be an evangelist. All of you are evangelists. So look at this. Gave some apostles. God controls everything. God came up with the vision to the apostle, head coach. He gave the prophet the finger pointer. We need to do this, and we need to do this, and we need to do this. We got to get rid of him. We got to get rid of him. That's the prophet. Then the evangelist says, okay, I'm going to go out and get some more players. I'm going to go out and recruit some more for the team. You ever go recruit somebody for the team? Say, well, coach, I can't do it. I'm the pastor. No, dude. You're playing a position. You're playing the position of the pastor. But sometimes, sorry, you're going to have to be the evangelist. If there isn't one, you're going to have to be it. It's a gift. Oh, man. Then there's a pastor. Did you notice this? It's a wedding finger. The pastor ain't a thumb controlling everything. The pastor's the marriage finger, the wedding finger that marries all of those positions together. By the way, sometimes you may have a home church gathering. Somebody's acting as the pastor there. Somebody is. They provide consistent care and guidance to the congregation, nurturing the spiritual growth and overall well-being. They're all about building relationships and fostering strong sense of community. You often find them counseling, mentoring, and offering practical support to those in need. Why are they always preaching? Ever go to church and the pastor says, hey, you know what? We're going to hear from Gene Schroeder today. Gene, you got a message for us here, Gene? And Gene, you know what happens? You now come into the role of the teacher. You have to be prepared all the time to be the teacher because you may be around a group of people who don't know what you know, and you're the teacher in that situation. Come on, this is so clear. That's why the church doesn't work. The way we got it set up, it doesn't work. So we got the pastor that marries him. And the weakest of all is the teacher, little finger. Isn't that something? You know, I don't know if you've picked up on this or not, but every time you come into this, every morning when you come into this, I play all those. Hey, and so should you. It's a position. Somebody has to be the evangelist. Somebody has to be the pastor. You can change roles. Here's what I could do. I could not be here today, and I could let Jim Harrison be here. So Jim Harrison goes to host. Now, he's not Coach Dave, but he's stepping in for Coach Dave because somebody has to fill that spot. Spencer can't come to work today. How are we going to do the show? Spencer can't come to work. Well, Jared will get his fat butt up and he'll come and do it. Jared will replay that position. Do you understand how this works? Do you understand? That you ought to be gifted in every one of those areas depending on the situation. Because Betty, there are going to be, there's going to be times when you got to be the apostle, and there are times when you're going to have to be the prophet, and there's times when you're going to have to be the evangelist, and there are times when you're going to have to be the pastor, and there's times when you have to be the teacher. They are positions on the team, not permanent. Every play, it's called. This has to happen. But what if you're on a team? Bring up John 10:10. Bring up John 10:10. Hey, Betty, give me. I don't need reinforcements. This is pretty good stuff, isn't it, Betty? It's pretty good. Huh?
Boom.
John 10:10. Here you go. They lied to you. Just bring up John 10. Take the 10:10 off. Go to John 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but come up some of the way, is a thief and a robber. We're talking about the church here. We're talking about the church. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name, and the pastor porter leads them out. And see that? You got a pastor leading you out? Or is he leading you in? Is he leading you out of the sheep pen or into the sheep pen? To him, the porter opens the door, and the sheep hear his voice. Whose? The shepherd's voice. The great shepherd's voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. And what's he do? He leads them out. What happens then? Well, he puts forth his own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You mean to tell me you're pastoring a church and you never lead them out? How do they know how to play? I was watching my daughter's softball game yesterday, and I couldn't hardly watch it anymore. I'm not kidding you. I couldn't hardly watch it. Do you know why I couldn't hardly watch it? Because there wasn't anybody coaching them. Oh, there was a guy standing there. There was a guy who was in charge, but he wasn't coaching them. He wasn't teaching them how to set their feet when they covered the bag. He wasn't teaching them how to follow through and roll their hands when they hit. He wasn't teaching them that. He was the administrator. He was the pastor. He wasn't the coach. He was the pastor of the team. So Jesus told them all about this, and they still didn't get it. Scroll down. Then he said, okay, boys and girls, here you go. I'm the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Watch this. And everybody that came before me are thieves and robbers. And the sheep didn't listen to him. So I'm just reading the word. Jesus said, I'm the door. And if you come through me, you're going to be saved and you're going to go out. Anybody want to argue with me? You're going to be saved, and you're going to go out. And when you go out, you're going to find pasture. In other words, provision. You're going to find provision. Go on, down 10. Come on, here's the biggest lie they've been telling us. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Hang on. Hey, Betty. They teach us the thief is the devil. The devil ain't been mentioned yet, folks. Go back. You want to know who the thief is? Go up the top. Go up the top. Verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, climbing some other way, is a thief and a robber. Who is at the top of the sheepfold? Who is standing up at the top of the sheepfold? Because it's a job for him. Who is it? Who is it? Man, this is so clear. Argue all you want.
The pastor.
That's right. He's the thief. He's a hireling. Thank you, Beth. He's doing it as a job. He ain't going to stick his neck on the line. People may not come to the church. He's not going to stick his neck on the line. They might write something bad about him in the newspaper. He's not going to stick his neck on the line because they won't invite him to say the prayer before the football games. I'm sorry. This is it. This is all it. All it. That's why we're ineffective. Wow. They're positions, not offices. They're positions, not offices.
Well, Dave, why isn't the pastor willing to stick his neck out there? Isn't a shepherd willing to do whatever it takes to protect a flock?
Chad, you mean to tell me they're murdering babies and the pastors don't speak up?
Well, it's not just the pastors. No one in the congregation is encouraged to do so either.
Why is that?
Because they're wolves in sheep's clothing.
Well, we don't know better, right? We have taken modern evangelical Christianity, we put it on TV, it's name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, and it's all about blessing, 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 and no interest in doing anything. That's my take on it. Go ahead, Chad, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You didn't.
No, okay.
Go on.
Okay. Hey, Chad, let me ask you this, Chad. You're a pretty good stick. Which one of those are you, Chad? The one on the screen right now.
Well, like you said, all five of them just depends on.
Yes! Depending on the situation, you're all of those. If you're teaching a Sunday school, you're the pastor. Come on. These aren't offices where people get paid.
Where we get in a rut is the ones that we want to be, the ones we want to do. We end up getting like doing the, like this one because we think we're good at that. We have a gift for that, so we're going to be in that one.
That's right. Let's
see. As soon as it becomes our flesh, doing that in our flesh, we lose the power of that, the blessing.
Amen. Hey, friends, when's the last time? I go up the top here, Spencer. When was the last time that, as I said before, in the middle of the service or maybe after the service, you went to the pastor and you said, "Pastor, I'm sorry, I got to bring a little bit of correction here. You said that gay marriage is okay, Pastor. You said it's okay. We're supposed to love everybody. Pastor, I'm going to act like a prophet right now and I'm going to tell you something. You're full of shit." That's what a prophet does. And then what happens to the prophet? Well, they run him out of the church. Isn't this so good? Huh? What'd they do to John the Baptist? John the Baptist went to the king, and what did he say? Hey, dude, your wife's a slut. She's a slut. Huh? Yeah, that's right, dude. And you're a thief. And what happened? Cost him his head. And Jesus said, of all those ever born under a woman, that was the best guy ever. Because he spoke truth to power, which is the job of the prophet. Not to speak the future, speak truth. Wow, this is good. I want to keep going, but I only got 8 minutes. Come on in, Lauren. Somebody set up a GoFundMe for Lauren. Go ahead.
Check your phone, man.
Okay, so I played 16-inch softball until I was 46 for several decades. And I played short center and second base. But that wasn't just the limit, because there's times when I needed to be a third baseman coach, a first baseman coach, because when the batter comes up, you know, that's your job is to, when you're on the field, is to be on the defense, to block the ball from going anywhere. And to back up to the person to your left or to
keep
your right.
Them from getting to first base is what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. And if they got to first base, my next thing was to make sure they did not get to second base.
That's right.
Especially playing second base and shortstop, right? I mean, short center.
Who are you to judge?
I couldn't play shortstop because of the position, and I wasn't good on the line, and I wasn't good in the field. I could somewhat do it, but not good. But my point is
people in the right positions.
Right. And you should be able to play other positions. You may not be able to play them well.
Duh.
But you need to know how to do it, because the church is not just the pastor. The church is the team. You got Amen. People sitting on the bench. You got the head coach, and he's the head coach who should be coaching everybody else on the field and off the field, because you're playing offense or defense.
Well, so Lauren,
and when you come up and you're playing offense, your job is to get that ball and get the team where they need to be to win, just like with Jesus. But we're supposed to do it together.
Hey, Lauren, I'm talking now. I'm watching the game last night, and I'm thinking, won't somebody teach them how to cover the bag? Isn't there a coach someplace teach them how to cover the damn bag? No. So you know what that means? I might have to step up and do it. I might have to become the coach. Come on in, Judah.
Yeah, Coach. This is on full display. And a lot of people are going to get a chance to see it with their own eyes. It's an exciting time. We're coming to the precipice of what's getting ready to happen. But as those people who get a chance to see it, these churches, so many, you know, a lot of people on this call, they're believers in Christ. They follow Christ. They can do a home study. They can live out of their Bible. They can do, they can run the church themselves. The point is this, the institution. The institution was a captured operation. And Chad, the reason why many of these pastors, and I'll say many, I even say 90%. Now we're in the 10%, but those 90%, they took an oath. And when you understand what the Oral Roberts group has done, these Freemasons, when you took the oath of what they did and they signed their contract, they signed their contract, a Luciferian contract, and that money has cut off their ability to stand up. And then the fear of what might happen to them. This is the same thing that happened to the people in Congress. These people who took an oath. The fear is larger than their belief in Christ.
Amen.
They've lost their soul. That's why they cannot come forward. And that's why we take the ball and put it in the end zone ourselves. Mm.
So, Judd, here's what I think. I want to get some others in here. Here's what I think. I think I'm better than Joe Rogan. I think I'm better than Joe Rogan. How come I don't have a million people? Because I'm speaking a different kind of truth than Joe Rogan is. Joe Rogan ain't popular because he's Joe Rogan. He's got a great show, which he does. He's popular because those, they promoted Joe Rogan to that spot. Don't ever lose sight of that, friends. Who's the monkey grinder? Who's the monkey grinder? And see, I don't have a monkey grinder because I confront our own team. Nobody feels good about afterwards when they get confronted by it. Coach, I'm doing the best. If you knew who I was fighting for, yeah, I know. I get it. But as in general, our model's broken. Come on in, Dale. We've got 3 minutes. Our model's broken, folks.
Hallelujah, Coach. So I kind of read this a little bit different, and it says that he gave some as prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the works of the ministry. I look at those jobs as coaches. And you know what? Most good coaches, if whether baseball or football, were all former players, Coach. They were all former players.
Can't but teach they, what you don't know, man. Can't teach
that, that's exactly it. And they equip the saints for the works of the ministry. Now, I tell my church this. Now, they don't pay me. I don't take a salary. I said, you pay me to get you to do the works of the ministry.
Trainer, Coach, you're a trainer.
That's the kingdom of God. It's always opposite the world.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Jack, come on in. We got 2 minutes. Hurry up.
Okay, hurry up, hurry up. So if you want the example of what you're talking about, training for all the positions, specializing in your own, that's how submarines work. You have to know every job. When I was training to be qualified, I had to be able to do every job on the submarine at least safe enough to make it function. I had to do my job well, but I had to know, I had to be able to walk into maneuvering and throw the sticks and change the speed. I had to be able to walk into the torpedo room and help them put a fish in a tube, but I had to know my job thoroughly.
And Jack, coach somebody else to do his job so you don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
And the church is designed for everything to go through the pastor and the elders, and there ain't nobody who knows how to play the game.
But that system was so unique that we called it, we hang our crow on the gangway when you go aboard, because if I said something to a chief, he would know that I wouldn't say that without knowing that it was the correct thing to do. So I could, as a second class, I could correct the chief, not because I was being arrogant, but because I saw something that he didn't, and he would not hesitate. See?
Okay, so Jack, I'm going to coach here. It's 8 o'clock. We got to go. Rise up, O men of God. We got to get engaged. See you tomorrow.